Let's talk about a great word today. It's the word repentance. Let's talk about it right here on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome once again to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. Thanks for joining me today for our program. And each week we just spend time opening the Bible, the wonderful words of life. And we just want to look at Book, Chapter, and Verse and study a subject together that I think will be helpful to us all. And please know at the end of our broadcast, we will offer some Bible study material to you absolutely free that you can study and learn more of God's Word in your own home. And we'll have that opportunity for you at the end of our broadcast. So please, stay tuned. And again, thanks for joining me. The book, chapter, and verse today that I want to use is actually just one verse, and it comes from Acts, the 17th chapter. In Acts 17, Paul is in the city of Athens, and according to Acts 17:16, he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So Paul is going to teach some things about, as they called him, the unknown God. But down to verse 30 of Acts 17, I'd like for us to think about when there was a time of how man was living, and it's even true today. Paul said in verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Now, as we think of God's salvation, is it not interesting to see that this is a clear declaration of God? The word repentance. When we think about repentance, this is not the first time it was preached. John the Baptizer in his earthly journey, John the Baptist in Matthew 3:2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As Jesus began his earthly ministry, Matthew 4 and verse 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We see that repeated in Mark 1:15. In Luke 13:1-5, Jesus teaches of the importance of repentance when he tells them twice in verses 3 and 5, "Nay, I tell you, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." And before Jesus ascended into heaven, in Luke 24:44-47, in Luke's account of the Great Commission, Jesus reminded them to preach repentance and remission of sins beginning at Jerusalem. That's in verse 47. Jesus Christ preached repentance in his earthly ministry. So it's nothing strange to know that his apostles would preach repentance in the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when in verse 38, after they were pricked in their heart by what was preached, after it affected them that they had killed Jesus Christ, they had crucified him, when they heard this, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ." The apostles preach repentance. In Acts 3:19, the lame man at the gate, as Peter healed him, and there were those that were watching him leap and praise God, Peter went on to preach, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent. And then we continue on and we see here in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, that Paul preached repentance. So let's go back to our book, chapter, and verse of Acts 17, 30. When Paul visited Athens, Greece on his second missionary journey, as we noted, he encountered a city that was just full of idolatry. He told them about the one true God in verses 22 and following. But he went a step further. Not only did he tell them about God, he challenged them to change their ways. That means that because of the goodness of God, then we must repent. That's Romans 2 in verse 4. Later in his writing, Peter again preached repentance when in 2 Peter 3:9 he said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So repentance is a clear declaration from John the Baptizer through Christ, through the apostles, specifically Peter, specifically Paul. They all preached repentance. Today, is it not important that we teach repentance from the very Word of God? Well, if they did, we must do the same. Let's think on this for a moment. Let's think about God's clear definition of repentance. I don't know of a better way to define repentance than to simply look in Matthew 21 as we consider what's called the parable of the two sons. In Matthew 21 and verses 28 through 31, listen to this parable, and I believe it defines repentance just very easily. Matthew chapter 20, or rather 21, 28 through 31, Jesus says, But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31, Whether of them twain, or which one of the two, did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And so, not only a change of decision, I will not, but later he repented and went. He changed his decision, but it also involved a change of direction. It wasn't enough to just say, okay, I will. He went on and did it. I've heard it said that repentance is the hardest commandment in the Bible. Some time back, a dear friend of mine worked on this, and I read some things that he had shared as far as how to remember and to recognize and to know repentance. So let's consider repentance in these four parts and ask ourselves where we are concerning God's command of repentance. Let's think about this for a little bit. Let's think about repentance, and first of all, let's think about how it requires recognition. First of all, repentance is just quite simply an acknowledgement of sin. So first, repentance will cause us to recognize our sin. When we go back in the Old Testament, how did David respond to Nathan the prophet when Nathan confronted him with his sin with Bathsheba? David replied in 2 Samuel 12:13, I have sinned against the Lord. It's easier just to admit that we are simply wrong. It's hard, so hard. But there are times, and you've probably seen it, individuals will say, well, I put all the responsibility on me. Well, where else do you think we're going to put it? When we are wrong, then we have to acknowledge. And David simply said, I have sinned against the Lord. I am wrong. I have sinned. Listen to Proverbs 28:13 that says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We confess our sins and forsake them. Turn closer to God, there is mercy. As children of God, as Christians, we need to think on that. We recognize sin in our lives, sin that's unforgiven. There are people that will share from time to time, I know I'm not living right. I know what I need to do. And there is the acknowledgement. But what's missing? Nothing changes. They seem to like things just the way they are. Sin requires a recognition, or rather repentance requires the recognition of sin. that yes, I have sinned, I am wrong. And there are people again that just say, well, I know I'm not right, but nothing changes. They just consider going on. They may recognize it, but they're not ready to do anything about it. They're still in their sin, kind friends. I hope that's not true with you. Let's build on this. Recognition, or rather sin, requires recognition, but secondly, repentance requires remorse. Repentance requires recognition, I have sinned, but also remorse. Listen to this text of 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. Paul says, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. It is simply not being sorry. But the sorrow now will move you to repentance. I recognize I have sinned. I'm sorry, but it moves us to repentance. There is a big difference. Here's the best way that I can describe it. Sometime back where I preach, one of our little fellows was sitting on the front row. I may have shared this in a previous broadcast, but it's worthy to bring it up again. And he's sitting on the front row after our Bible study that night, so I figure either he's not feeling well or chances are he's messed up. He's done something wrong. So I asked him, I said, what's up? Are you in timeout? He said, yes, sir. I said, did you do wrong? He said, yes, sir. I said, are you sorry? He said, yes, sir. And I said, are you willing to repent? And the little 4 to 5 year old looked at me and didn't have a clue how to answer that. You see, he doesn't understand what repentance means. Now, he was sorry. He got caught. But he didn't understand what repentance means. So let's make sure we understand what repentance means. There's a striking difference in being sorry and repenting. There is a sorrow, which means here is a grief. Here is a distress. Like those on Pentecost in Acts 2 when they were pricked in their heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? There's a distress. We cannot live with what we've done. That's where sin troubles us. And it keeps us up. It makes our sleep miserable. We have that sin in our lives and we're sorry we did it, but we're leaving it there. Repentance requires recognition, and it does require remorse. To be sorrowful for our sin, not that we got caught, but sorrow that we did it. That takes us to the third point. We recognize it. We're remorseful. We must resolve to change. A friend of mine, longtime friend named Mark Posey, faithful gospel preacher, said this. He said, it is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of soul, that leads to a change of desire, that leads to a change of life. That's beautiful. You get the idea now of what repentance is doing. If repentance is not total, it's not true repentance. There are times that one may respond and ask for prayers, but we fail to cease the behavior. We report that we are wrong, but we fail to repent. Sometimes I've heard it put this way. If I have sinned or caused anyone else to sin, I want your prayers. Time out. If I have sinned, folks, if we respond with a soul, there's chances are there's no if that we have. You see, David didn't say to Nathan, well, if I've sinned with Bathsheba, no. He said, I have sinned. If we think we've sinned, it's a pretty good indication we have. You see, repentance requires resolve, making a concerted effort to cease the behavior that has brought us to a sorrow, a remorseful attitude, and to change, and look at both ways. To become a Christian, there has to be repentance. Faith by itself is not enough. It wasn't on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't in Acts chapter 3. They were commanded to repent. And think about it. Those from our text of Acts 17 on Mars Hill had up a monument, a small thing, to the unknown God. They acknowledged they believed, but they were believing in a lot of others too. And you can't do that. That's idolatry. To become a Christian, an individual has to repent of his sins, confess Christ based upon their faith, and be baptized into Christ just like they were in Acts 2:38. So for one to become a Christian, repentance is not out of the issue. It's necessity. As a Christian, if our hearts are astray, we must repent. And you may be thinking, wait a minute, are you saying a Christian can fall away? Well, Hebrews 3:12 teaches us that. Simon the sorcerer had obeyed the gospel in Acts 8:12, but was told to repent because his heart was not right in Acts 8:22. There were those in the church at Galatia that wanted to go back to the law of Moses, and Paul said, if you try to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Yes, a Christian can fall. And so repentance requires a resolve. So what have we got? There's recognition. There's remorse. Resolve not to do it, but repentance requires reformation, a change of the lifestyle. Look how this principle is taught. Going back to Ezekiel 18, 21 through 22, and going back to the Old Testament, which was written for our learning, look at these texts. Ezekiel 18, 21 and 22. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. That's Ezekiel 18, 21 and 22. Now, look at this principle of teaching that's so true even today in Ezekiel 18, 27 and 28. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Now those principles were so true, they were commanded in old. But even through the New Testament, we see the truth there. Recall with me the beautiful parable in Luke 15 and verse 17 and following of what we term the prodigal son. The Bible reminds us in that text that he came to himself and he returned home changing his ways. He went out into a far country and wasted what his father had given him. And when he had lost everything, he came back to his father. That's repentance. He recognized, I will go to my father and say I have sinned. He was remorseful. Then he resolved to do it and reformed his life to where he's no longer out. If you'll permit me the term, as the southern boy that I am, he's no longer out slopping hogs, desiring what they had. He's back home. That's repentance. It's a new way of life. When Paul talked about being baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life in Romans 6, 4 through 6. The old man is put away, and now we can turn anew. The old man is continually put away for the Christian. When I look at all this together and I go back once again to a book, chapter and verse of Ephesians chapter 4, 20 through 24, that he tells the Christian, but you have not so learned Christ, or this is not how you've learned of Christ. Here's what you've learned. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And after that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said, this is what you do. And he's writing here to Christians. So let's put all this together. If I once was obedient to Christ, but like the prodigal son, I left and went off back into the world, then I need to repent. And that means leaving and coming back to Christ. If I've had yet to obey the gospel of Christ, then repentance is vital, and I need that in order to become obedient. And even as a child of God, I still need to put away sin. I still need to confess my sin, 1 John 1:9. And I need to keep the new man alive every day. How important is repentance? It is the hardest commandment we read of in the Scripture. There's no doubt about that. But it may be hard, but it's not impossible. Millions have done so. And so can you. There is no sin so great that God cannot forgive. Please don't think that you have lived such a life that you can't be profitable for God. Paul murdered Christians, but Christ used him. Peter denied him, but Christ used him. All throughout the Bible, we find folks you didn't think God could use. But he did. God can use you if you'll just repent. As you've heard this today, if you believe in Christ, let nothing stop you. Today can be the start of a new day that you can repent of your sins, change your life, change your decision, change your direction, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be buried with him in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Repentance and remission of sins would be preached. Repentance is bringing our lives to Christ from a changed direction. Remission of sins cleanses our lives and places us in Christ Jesus. How beautiful that is. Would you like to grow more in the subject of repentance and know that you can change your life? So, kind friend, don't think that, well, I just can't live this good enough. Look, if I repent of my sins and change my direction, then I'm going in a better direction than I was going. I'm not worrying about living it good enough. I just want to live it faithful to my Lord with forgiveness and grace that helps me along that I don't have if I'm not obedient to his call. I want you to think a lot about repentance. Think about your obedience to the gospel of Christ. Think about the things we've said. And it could be that where you attend church, these things may sound a little different to you. Just dig into the Word of God and know that you can grow and learn more about Christ. Let's take a break for a moment. Enjoy this blessed hymn. I'll come back and wrap up the program, and we'll help you along life's way. Thank you. May God bless you. A name for Christ is Wonderful Counselor from Isaiah 9:6. Here's what the counselor says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:3. No greater counsel that you and I can have than that to embrace the beauty of repentance.
Words, wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.